الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This is program of this Islamic studies class is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I'm not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to your authentic rites and rituals of the faith. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes or recording. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's class or topic is family ties, or keeping family ties, or kinship, or kin. Because we know sometimes when a person gets mad at someone in their family, they sort of break up with them. Children want to divorce their parents. Parents may even want to divorce their children or separate from them or get some kind of order from the court so they no longer are their parents or no longer their child or something like that. So we have this kind of thing goes on all the time. But your family is your family. You don't, no one asks for the family they have. They're just born into that particular family. And I guess if people had choices, they would probably pick other families, or they just love the family they have, and they would not pick any other family if they had an opportunity to pick. But I want to talk about, from the Islamic perspective, how we're supposed to look at kin. Even when I, for example, become Muslim, and my family are not Muslim, I don't treat them in a bad way. Nor should I expect from them to treat me in a bad way because I'm Muslim and they are not Muslim, or they practice something different. That should be the thing. We, particularly Muslims, should not separate ourselves from our family because now I'm Muslim. I don't be you all anymore. I'm going to be with the non-Muslims anymore. I'm only going to be with the Muslims. And so that's not the way we're supposed to be thinking, or the way we're supposed to be when far as Islam is concerned. So let's look at it for example. Let's look at that for a minute. It was narrated by Anas ibn Malik, or son of Malik. Allah's apostle, may peace be upon him, he said, "Whoever loves that he be granted more wealth, and that his lease of life, or on life, be prolonged, then he should keep good relations with his kith and kin." And so one of the ways people say, well, how do I prolong life? Or they ask a person over 100 years, well, how do you keep your life? Or what's your secret to life? And all these kind of things. But according to the Prophet, you want to do this, you want to have a better life, something like that, then you keep your ties with your family. So I just wanted to mention that. I won't go into a lot of details about that, but a person, it says, what, whoever loves that he be granted more wealth, and that his lease of life be prolonged, then he should keep good relations with his family. So let's go to the next one, which is the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him. He said, the word wound, derives his name from Ar-Rahma, i.e. one of the names of Allah. And Allah said, I will keep good relations with the one who keeps good relations with you, meaning the wound, kith and kin, and sever the relation with him who will sever the relation with you, meaning the wound or kith and kin. So if I separate myself from my family, my mother, my brother, so forth and so forth, then Allah will separate himself from me. But if I have a good relations with my brother and mother and the like, then Allah will have a good relations to me and keep a good relations to me. So you want to be in good with Allah, Muslim, non-Muslim, whatever, then you keep your good relations with your family, with the one who bore you from the womb you came from the same womb you came for. You don't want to do that? Then, okay, separate from the womb of your kith and kin, and Allah separate from you. And who wants Allah to separate from them? No one listens to my voice should want the Creator, all that we see and all we don't see, separate himself from that individual. Not at all. We need Allah in our life. Allah created all that we see and all that we don't see. He grants us all that we have. He's the one to provide us food for us, water for us. He provides all these things for us. Yeah, sure, you go to work every day, but Allah can easily make it so you don't go to work and make any money. You could go, for example, you go to bed rich and wake up poor. Or go to bed poor and wake up rich. That's easy for Allah to do. And so you want to increase your wealth, then you prolong or increase your relationship with your family. You want to keep your relationship with Allah, a good relationship with Allah, then keep good relationship with your family. Don't make up excuses and reasons to cut off on your family. You may not like them for whatever reason. All right, you may have to take a break from them, or take a vacation, or staycation from them. Or you may have to do that. All right, that's up to you. But you don't sever ties with your family. As much as you may want to do so, this is not something that we do. We embrace our family. We love our family. That family gathers, yeah, they go to get on your nerve, and different people have different ways that they do things, and may not be according to the way you would do things or the way you would act. The way they act sometimes when you come to various family events. But what? They are still family. They are still the ones that love you. And if you need help, more than likely they're the ones going to be by your side unless you wore out your welcome. While you're welcome, meaning, for example, you steal from them all the time and take it and buy drugs or whatever you do. I don't know what way you broke your ties with your family or lied to them. I don't know. But you broke your ties with your family. You caused problems to yourself and your family where they don't want to be around you because they don't trust you. Because you're not a reliable person. So please, I'm talking to my students, those who are Muslims, those who are not Muslims. Don't cut off family ties. Families are the foundation of any society. No matter what society you go to, families are important to the society, to the wealth and growth of the society. And we start cutting ourselves off from our family members, then we may bring some kind of destruction to the society, particularly the society as we know it. So let me move on. And so also it was mentioned or narrated by Abu Ayyub, meaning the father of Ayyub. A man said to the Prophet, may peace be upon him, tell me of such a deed that will make me enter paradise. Listen closely now. Come closer to listening, the device, wherever you're listening on. Again, tell me of such a deed that will make me enter paradise. The people said, what is the matter with him? What is the matter with him? The Prophet, may peace and blessings upon him, he said, he has something to ask. What he needs greatly, the Prophet, may peace be upon him, said, in order to enter paradise, you should worship Allah and do not ascribe any partners to him. Offer prayer perfectly. Pay the zakat, the charities, sadaqah, so forth, and keep good relations with your kith and kin. So you want to know the thing that could get you into paradise, help you enter into paradise. One, you worship Allah, and two, set up no partners of him, because Allah sits alone on authority, he lives on the throne of authority. He have authority over everything. Everything that we see, he created. Everything that we don't see is created by Allah. And he has control over that thing. So he is the one that we worship. Like I mentioned before, a few weeks ago, one of my other episodes, this is the one that does particular things. This is the one that we worship. Allah gives life, and he takes life. This is what he does. Allah provides rain from the sky. He brings to life something that is dead. The land is dead. He brings water from the sky for the plants to grow, for the animals to drink, for humans to drink from the water. This is from Allah. And so he is the one that we worship. And he is the one that we ask for help. Okay, let's go to the next one. It was narrated by Abu Huraira, which is one of the Prophet's companions. The Prophet, may peace be upon him, said, "Whoever believes in Allah in the last day should serve his guests generously. And whoever believes in Allah in the last day should unite the bond of relationship, i.e., keep good relations with his kith and kin. And whoever believes in Allah in the last day should talk what is good or keep quiet." It's a lot of things said. You say you believe in Allah the last day. Then you believe in Allah on the last day, then you should be generous towards your guests. Believe in Allah on the last day, you should have good relations with your kin. Believe in Allah on the last day, you should say what is good or keep quiet. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said very little. I mentioned to you all this before. Very, very little did he say. You can almost count every word that comes out of his mouth, and what he says is truth. And what he says is good. And what he said is guidance. It is powerful. Some things that we said he says. Of course, the man, Muhammad, son of Abdullah, we don't worship him. We don't do that at all. We just follow what he says. Follow what Allah says, the creator of Muhammad, and also follow what Muhammad says. Who tells us he's not the one that we pray to Muhammad to get to Allah. We go directed to Allah as Muhammad was directed to Allah. He's not a separate holy being or anything like that. No, he was a man like the rest of our men or women. But Allah chose him to be the messenger and chose him to deliver the last message to mankind. That he's a messenger for all of mankind. Some prophets came for just for themselves. Some came for the people in the area, for their family. Some just came for the Prophet Muhammad. He came for all of mankind. All of them. And he's the last messenger that Allah was sent to mankind to warn mankind, to remind mankind of what they should and should not do. And so, if you believe in Allah in the last day, Yawm al-Qiyamah, then you should talk with what is good, or say what is good, or keep quiet. And that's what we all need to do. Sometimes when we get around people, we just want them really just to be quiet. You really need to not talk. First of all, what you're saying is nonsense. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And a lot of you say it does not make it make more sense. Not at all. So you should keep quiet. Only say what is right and say what you know. You listen more than you talk. You learn when you listen. But if you talk, you can't hear other people because you're so busy talking and maybe even listening to your own voice. So we have to be very, very careful of doing that kind of thing. And it's also mentioned that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, "O people, extend greetings, saying salam to each other." Meaning saying assalamu alaikum, and then I say wa alaikum salam. He says, you know, spread the salams. And keep relations with your kin. Provide food to people and pray at night when people are asleep. and you will enter paradise in peace. So he's given us another way of into paradise. And that is to do what? To spread the salams, give salams to the people. Don't be stingy with the salams, meaning it's as-salamu alaykum. Some people, and some people you don't say it. Peace and blessings to some people, and no peace and blessings to other people that really you're supposed to say peace and blessings to. When a Muslim meet another Muslim, this is something, this is the greeting that they say to each other. When you have the, when a smaller group meets the larger group, then the smaller group gives salams to the larger group. And one who is walking gives salam to the one who is sitting. The young one is the one that gives a salam to the older ones. The smaller group gives something, gives salam to the bigger group. I mean, that's just how it is in Islam. So it says, spread the salams. You want paradise? You want to end the paradise? As you extend the greetings, and also keep good relations with your family, and provide food to the people, providing food to the poor, whatever it may be, you provide it to them or for them. You can afford it. Enough for one is enough for two. In America, we have $1 bills, so if I have $1, that means I have 50 cents for me and 50 cents for someone else to help them get some beans or something, or rice or whatever, to get something to eat. Or I might have more money home, so go on and give them $1 or whatever it is, or go say, look, here, I'm going to buy you the meal because you look like you need a meal. If you see a man or a woman in a trash can, digging out the trash can and eating from the trash can, more than likely they're hungry. More likely they don't have no alternative but to go in the trash can and get something to eat to nourish themselves, to basically stay alive because they're hungry. So what you do, with my advice, is tell them, please stop doing that. Please stop. Don't go in the trash anymore and eat from the trash can anymore and eat other people's discarded food. Don't do that anymore. Here's some money. Go get yourself something to eat. Go in the store, get them something to eat, and bring the sandwich out. Bring a sandwich out to them. Whatever you can do to help that individual, then you help the individual. And Allah knows it'll come back to you. As it says here, extend the greetings, keep relations with your kin, provide food to people, pray at night when all the other people are asleep, and you will enter paradise. Who here do not want to enter paradise? And I go to one of my previous episodes and I explain to you what it's like in paradise. Just a very small glimpse of what it's like in paradise and the good things that happen to a person in paradise where they don't die. They're around, let's say, 30, 32 years of age, but have their full strength and their wisdom, that kind of thing. And you're like that forever in paradise. Whatever you want, you get it in paradise. So that's what it just says, simply say. To do what? To give some, to pray the salam, extend the salams. Also, you can keep relation with your kin. And it said what? Feed the people, provide food to the people. And when other people are asleep, then you be the one that get up and make prayer. And then you will enter paradise. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, directly to a deed which draws me near to paradise and takes me away from the fire, meaning hellfire. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, may peace be upon him, said, you worship Allah and never associate anything with him. Establish prayer, pay zakat, and do good to your kin. When he turns his back, the Messenger of Allah remarked, if he adheres to any he has been ordered to do, he will enter paradise. Simple. He wanted to know about how do I draw near to paradise? That's one. And then secondly, he wanted to know, how do I get away from the hellfire? And I also, in my previous episode, I talk about what's going on in the hellfire. Some faith don't talk about paradise. They may mention it, but they really don't talk about and explain it in details like Islamic faith does, like we do. I'm not saying other faiths don't. I am not getting to that. I'm just saying, but many faiths don't really go into details about what is in hell and what's in paradise. But our faith, we come straight forward with you about that, and we talk about paradise, and we talk about hell. We talk about who grants paradise and who grants hell. How do you get to paradise and how you get to hell? And this is the same thing here, is that when we do what? How we keep the man wonder how you get God, you draw near to paradise, and how you keep away from the hellfire. And he said, worship Allah and never associate anything with him. Establish prayer. Aqim al-Salat, meaning go ahead and make the prayer. Pay zakat or pay the sadaqah or pay charity. And do good to your kin. Whatever you can do good to the kin, then you do good for them. Give them food or give them clothing or just help them out and be kind towards them and don't break your ties with them. And then he said, if this man did this thing that he had been ordered to do, he will enter paradise. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he also said, the earth will vomit, meaning throw up, long pieces of its liver like the columns of gold and silver. And the murderer will come and say, it was for this that I committed murder. The breaker of family ties will come and say, it was for this that I broke family ties. And a thief will come and say, it is for this that my hands were cut off. They will then leave it and will not take anything out of it. Ibn Umar said, whoever has taqwa, meaning piety, of his Lord and maintains ties of kinship, his term of life will be prolonged, which I mentioned earlier. His wealth will be abundant and his family will love him. This is also attached to this particular hadith, but as I mentioned earlier, you do not break ties. Do not break ties. Do not break ties. And do not break ties. No matter how much your family, like I said, they sometimes get on your nerves, but we are not to break ties with them. This is the only family that we have. We're not going to be issued another family. You may claim someone to be your family or family member, but that's it. I know particularly I'm African American, and among African Americans, many of us have the habit of calling someone our cousin or our uncle. For we grow up like that sometimes. But then you come to find out the person really wasn't your cousin or your uncle, but they were like a cousin or like an uncle, like family. They're close to the family. They're reliable. Whenever you need them, they're there. Whenever you have a death in the family, and you all may have the same situation, that person is there. No matter what. You need money for collecting money to bury the person, that person comes out their pocket and gives some money. You need me to prepare the food, I'll prepare the food while the family grieve over the person who died. Someone needs some clothing or whatever it is, holiday, you might buy something. That first person bought something, or they buy something for other people. And so you have that individual that you have made part of your family. And so, this is what you do. I can't tell you not to do it. I can't tell you to continue to do that. That's your choice. But Islamically, we say don't break family ties. Family ties are very important because family ties also, for example, if I'm married and I have a wife and children and I die, I am, my family, my children, my wife is now a widow and my children are now orphans because of the death of me, her husband, and my children's father. And so that changed the dynamics of the family. That's basically what it does. Or it's a woman, if a woman, for example, she has her children, and then also she breastfeeds her children, and then she has, and then she cares for someone else's child, and she still has milk in her breast, and so she breastfeeds that child. Some scholars say, for example, five times that she breastfeeds a child, then that child becomes a family member. That child is now, for example, her husband cannot marry that child because that child is now related to that husband. Or that husband can see that girl, for example, she goes to be a woman without her himar, her head covering on, and he can hug her and kiss her, that kind of things, be affectionate towards her because she is his daughter. She's related to him, but only because of the fact that what happened, the fact that that the mother breastfed this particular child, or she breastfed a boy. And that means now he become her mahram, meaning that he's the one that can travel with her, or he's the one that she cannot marry. So family dynamics change when you come to Islam. I want to talk a couple more changes. For example, if I marry my wife, I cannot marry her sisters at all. Unless I divorce the wife or she dies, then I can marry her sister, but I can't be married to two sisters at the same time. So you have to understand the family dynamics of the Muslim household. Or when my wife, for example, marries, or I married my wife, and then I married my wife, and she and her mother becomes my mother. Her mother will always be my mother. Even my wife and I divorce, I can never marry her mother. I can kiss her mother, basically be a mocker for her mother, her mother is just like my own mother, my own birth mother. So that changed the family dynamics between myself and her mother, because she's my family, yes, but she will always, no matter if I, for example, my wife divorced, but I divorce her, my wife dies, then this lady will always be my mother. And so you have other family dynamics that take place that changes because of various things happens in a particular relationship. And so I want you to understand that from give you a little extra, not just keeping a relationship with your kith and kin or with your kinfolk and also get you into paradise. Also, Islamically, the dynamics change. Just for merely a woman breastfeeding a child, or because of marriage, that these things have changed. Or my daughter's married someone and they divorced an individual, their husbands will always be related to my wife. They will all be a mahram to my wife and can travel with her and see my wife without her khibar on her head. This is what could happen because the dynamics change. They become very close to my mother. They become close to my wife because my wife is like it'll also be like their mother, and they can hug her and they can kiss her or anything like that. And so I'm going to summarize this and stop really not summarize more so stop what I'm talking about, but you get the message about the family dynamics, where I talk about that at the end. But mainly, do not cut off family ties. We are not allowed to do that, and if you know a Muslim that do that, he or she is wrong in this type of action that they're doing, and I pray that they come back to the family. And matter of fact, Islamically, if you're mad at someone, you only allow a certain amount of days, 3 days. After that, someone has to make up. And the best person is the one who makes up first, who gives salam first. If I'm mad at my whomever it may be, and then I go to them first, say, look, okay, let's be friends, whatever, forget about what I said, I was wrong. Okay, then at that point, I went to them first, and then our ties are reattached because now, I'm no longer mad at you. I only have a limited amount of time in matter. Sometimes people can be mad at people for days, for weeks, for months, for years. and they don't speak to that individual. We're not allowed to do that in Islam. You want to know more about Islam, you go to White Islam. Or if you want to learn more about Islam, you go to International Online University, or you go to an American Open University. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class, and I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.